The crown of truth, living as citizens of Christ's kingdom. Picture this scene with me. The most powerful man in the known world sits across from a carpenter from Nazareth. Pontius Pilate, governor of Judea, representative of Caesar himself, holds the power of life and death in his hands. And yet, as we read John 18, 33 through 37, we discover something remarkable. The real question isn't whether Jesus will survive this trial, but whether Pilate will recognize the truth standing before him. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Now, here we have the irony of ironies. The true King of Kings stand bound before an earthly ruler who thinks he holds all the cards. Pilate represents everything the world values: political power, military might, the ability to control outcomes through force and manipulation. But Jesus represents something entirely different. He stands there, having been betrayed, abandoned by his closest friends, beaten and mocked, and yet he's about to reveal the nature of true kingship. This isn't just a trial of one man, it's a collusion between two completely different kingdoms, entirely different ways of understanding power and truth and authority. And as we celebrate Christ the King Sunday today, we're not just remembering a historical event. We're being confronted with the same choice Pilate faced. Which kingdom will we serve? Which king will we follow? The stakes couldn't be higher, because the answer to that question shapes everything about how we live, how we speak, and yes, how we engage with our world, including our digital world. Jesus' response to Pilate's question cuts right to the heart of everything. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world. Now, let's be careful here. Jesus isn't saying his kingdom has nothing to do with this world. He's not promoting some kind of spiritual escapism where we retreat from earthly concerns. Rather, he's explaining that his kingdom operates by completely different principles than earthly kingdoms. Earthly kingdoms, whether ancient Rome or modern nations, maintain power through force, through the threat of consequences, through the ability to reward friends and punish enemies. They operate on that principle that might makes right, that the end justifies the means, that truth is whatever serves your interests. But Christ's kingdom, it operates on truth. It advances through love. It conquers through sacrifice. It gains power by giving power away. Where earthly kingdoms say take, Christ's kingdom says give. Where earthly kingdoms say dominate, Christ's kingdom says serve. Where earthly kingdoms say win at any cost, Christ's kingdom says, lose your life to find it. This is revolutionary stuff. Jesus is telling Pilate and us that there's an entirely different way to live. an entirely different source of authority, an entirely different definition of what it means to be truly powerful. His kingdom isn't from this world, but it's absolutely for this world. It's the kingdom that this broken, hurting, divided world desperately needs. And here's what's remarkable. Every single one of us who calls Jesus Lord is a citizen of this kingdom. We carry passports, if you will, to a realm that operates by grace instead of force, by truth instead of manipulation, by love instead of fear. The conversation continues, and we see the stark contrast between these two kingdoms played out in real time. Pilate asks, "So you are a king?" And Jesus responds, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And then comes Pilate's famous cynical response. What is truth? Do you hear the difference? Jesus stakes everything on truth. His entire mission, his very reason for existing, is to bear witness to truth. But Pilate represents the kingdom of spin, the realm where truth is negotiable, where facts are whatever serves your political interests. Sound familiar? We live in an age where we hear about alternative facts, where people can look at the same event and come away with completely different versions of what happened. We live in echo chambers where we only hear information that confirms what we already believe. We live in a time when what is truth isn't just Pilate's cynical question. It's become the motto of our entire culture. But here's what Jesus is telling us. Truth isn't negotiable. Truth isn't a matter of opinion or perspective or political convenience. Truth is a person. Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Truth is grounded in the character of God, who cannot lie, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Citizens of Christ's kingdom are called to be people of truth. Not our truth, not convenient truth, not partial truth, but the truth that sets people free. The truth that sometimes costs us something. The truth that doesn't always serve our immediate interests, but always serves God's eternal purposes. This is where the rubber meets the road for us as Christians living in 2025. Every day, we face the choice between the kingdom of truth and the kingdom of spin. And nowhere is this choice more evident than how we engage with social media. So let's get practical here, because this is where Christ's kingship intersects with our daily lives. Many of us have smartphones in our pockets right now. Many of us have Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or X, TikTok, or other social media accounts. These platforms have become the modern equivalent of the town square. They're where information spreads, where opinions are formed, where public discourse happens. And they've also become battlegrounds between the kingdom of truth and the kingdom of spin. Think about it. how easy is it to share that article that confirms what we already believe without taking the time to verify whether it's actually true? Maybe it's that story about a politician you dislike doing something outrageous. But when you dig deeper, you find it's from a website or taken completely out of context, or perhaps it's that heartwarming story about a veteran or a child that tugs at your emotions. But it turns out to be years old, misattributed or completely fabricated. I've seen prayer requests for children who supposedly need surgery, complete with pictures, only to discover later that the photos were stolen from other families and used to scam people. I've watched as inflammatory memes about political issues spread like wildfire, creating division, hurt feelings, when a simple fact check would have revealed them to be misleading or even false. How tempting is it to pass along that juicy piece of gossip, that scandalous rumor, that inflammatory meme that makes the other side look bad? We tell ourselves we're raising awareness or starting important conversations, but often we're just feeding our own biases and stirring up conflict. How do we respond when we see misinformation being shared by people we love? Maybe it's your relative sharing conspiracy theories, or your college friend posting articles from questionable sources. Do we ignore it to keep the peace? Do we publicly correct them and risk damaging the relationship? Or do we find a way to speak truth in love, perhaps through a private message that gently provides accurate information? And what about our own posting habits? Do we share articles based on headlines alone? Or do we actually read them first? Do we check multiple sources before amplifying a story? When we post about controversial topics, or are we seeking to inform and build bridges, or are we just venting our frustrations and preaching to the choir? Consider this. A major news story breaks, and within minutes, your social media feeds are flooded with hot takes, partial information, competing narratives. The kingdom of spin says, get your opinion out there first. Claim your side. Make sure everyone knows where you stand. But the kingdom of truth says, wait, listen, learn. Let the facts emerge before you speak. Here's what's happening. We're living as Christians of Christ's kingdom on Sunday, but citizens of the kingdom of spin Monday through Saturday online. We're saying we follow the King who came to bear witness to the truth, but then we're bearing witness to whatever serves our political tribe or our social group, or our personal preferences. Jesus calls us to something higher. As citizens of His kingdom, we're called to be truth tellers in the digital age. That means we pause before we share. We verify before we amplify. We don't ask, does this serve my side, but is this true? We're willing to correct our mistakes, to admit when we're wrong, to engage with people who disagree with us with grace and humility. It means we recognize that our online presence is part of our Christian witness. Every post, every share, every comment is an opportunity to reflect the character of our King. The question isn't, will this get likes, but does this honor Christ? Now, some of you might be thinking, Pastor Steve, this sounds like you're asking us to withdraw from social media altogether, to disengage from the public square. Not at all. Remember, Jesus didn't say his kingdom has nothing to do with this world. He said it's not of this world. There's a crucial difference. We are citizens of both kingdoms. We have earthly responsibilities. We vote. We pay taxes. We participate in our communities. We engage with the issues of our time. But we do all these things as citizens of Christ's kingdom first and foremost. So how do we live faithfully in both realms? How do we engage social media with integrity while remaining faithful to Christ's kingdom values? Well, let me give you some very practical guidelines. First, we lead with love. Before we post that sharp comeback, that devastating critique, that perfectly crafted argument that will surely demolish our opponent, we ask, is this loving? Does this reflect the heart of Jesus? Remember, Jesus could have destroyed Pilate with a word, but instead he spoke truth wrapped in grace. Here's a practical test. Before you hit post or share, imagine Jesus sitting next to you, reading over your shoulder. Would you still post it? Or imagine the person you're criticizing is sitting across the table from you. Would you say it the same way? Second, we prioritize relationships over being right. It's so easy to forget that there are real people behind those profile pictures. Real human beings created in God's image who deserve our respect, even when they're wrong. Winning an argument online is worthless if we lose the opportunity to show Christ's love to someone who desperately needs it. We've seen this play out. People get in a heated political debate on Facebook, saying things to each other they would never say face to face. It damaged their relationship, created tension. But then one of them chose to reach out privately, to apologize, to prioritize their Christian fellowship over their political differences. That's kingdom living. Third, we practice digital Sabbath. We recognize that constant connectivity can become a form of idolatry, where we're more concerned with our online image than our relationship with God. We need regular breaks from the noise. Regular times of silence where we can hear the voice of our true King. Maybe that means turning off your phone during family meals. Maybe it's taking one day a week completely offline. Maybe it's setting specific times when you check social media instead of scrolling mindlessly throughout the day. The goal isn't to become a digital hermit, but to maintain proper priorities. Fourth, we use our platforms to build up rather than tear down. Instead of just sharing what we're against, we share what we're for. We highlight truth, beauty, goodness. We celebrate what God is doing in our world. We point people toward hope rather than despair. Share stories of people serving others in your community. Post photos of God's creation that inspire wonder and worship. Highlight local businesses that operate with integrity. Share encouraging scripture verses or quotes that point people to Jesus. Use your platform to promote unity rather than division. Fifth, we engage in good faith with people who disagree with us. That means we actually listen to understand, not just to respond. We ask clarifying questions. We acknowledge valid points, even when we disagree with conclusions. We avoid straw man arguments and personal attacks. For example, instead of posting, "I can't believe anyone could be so stupid as to think," try, "I understand the concern behind this position, but I see it differently because." Instead of sharing memes that mock the other side, engage with their strongest arguments, not their weakest ones. Sixth, we fact check before we share, especially when the information confirms our existing beliefs. It's human nature to be less critical of information that supports what we already think. But as people of truth, we have a higher standard. Use reliable fact-checking websites. Look for original sources. Be especially skeptical of stories that seem too good or too bad. When in doubt, don't share. It's better to miss sharing a true story than to spread a false one. And finally, we remember that our ultimate citizenship is in heaven. This world's kingdoms will rise and fall. Political parties will come and go. Social media platforms will eventually be replaced by something else. But Christ's kingdom is eternal. And our identity as His people transcends every earthly allegiance. That means we can engage political and social issues with passion, but without panic, with conviction, but without hatred. We can disagree strongly with policies or positions while still loving the people who hold them. As we close, I want you to picture that scene one more time. Jesus stands before Pilate, wearing a crown of thorns that the soldiers placed on his head in mockery. But here's the beautiful irony. That crown of thorns was more regal than any golden crown Pilate ever wore, because it was worn by the king who came to bear witness to the truth. Today, Christ the King calls each of us to wear our crown of truth. Not a literal crown, but a commitment to live as people of integrity in every area of our lives, including our digital lives. He calls us to let His truth reign in our hearts, our homes, our workplaces, and yes, our social media accounts. This isn't always easy. Truth-telling can be costly. Integrity can be inconvenient. Living as citizens of Christ's kingdom while engaging with earthly kingdoms requires wisdom, courage, and constant dependence on God's grace. But here's the promise. When we choose truth over spin, When we choose love over winning, when we choose Christ's kingdom over the kingdoms of this world, we're not just making our own lives better. We're participating in God's mission to redeem and restore this broken world. Every time we pause before sharing that questionable article, we're choosing Christ's kingdom. Every time we engage someone who disagrees with us with respect and grace, we're choosing Christ's kingdom. Every time we use our online platform to speak truth in love rather than to score points for our side, we're choosing Christ's kingdom. We live in a time when the world desperately needs to see what citizens of Christ's kingdom look like. They need to see people who care more about truth than about being right, who care more about love than about winning, who care more about God's glory than about their own reputation. As we go forth from this place, let's commit to living as true citizens of Christ's kingdom, online and offline. Let's commit to bearing witness to the truth in a world full of spin. Let's commit to letting Christ's love shape our words, our posts, our interactions with others. Because we serve a king whose kingdom is not of this world, but whose kingdom is exactly what this world needs. We serve a king who wore a crown of thorns, so that we might wear the crown of truth. We serve a king who is the way and the truth and the life, and who calls us to follow him faithfully, wherever that may lead. May the truth of Christ reign in our hearts. May the love of Christ shape our words. And may the kingdom of Christ be evident in every aspect of our lives. To the glory of God the Father. Amen.